Today's daf is daf Tzadik Ches. We're up to the Halakha Mishnah on Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis. Hamocher Yayin Lechaviro, continuing on with issues of responsibility for future spoilage and so on that we began discussing. We talked about what was initially clear in the previous Mishnah. Here we're talking about long term. It's not clear how much long term that we're going to have to see, but whatever it is, Hamocher Yayin Lechaviro v'ichnitz. If later on down the line it turns into vinegar, eno chayav, the seller now is not chayav b'achrayuto. On the other hand, im yadua sheino machmitz, if however he has a history year after year of his wine rapidly souring, so then it becomes a mekach ta'ut. If the buyer can show that this is the guy's history and he didn't tell him about it, so then indeed he's responsible. The ima marlo yayin mivusam ani mocher lecha. If he specifies yayin mivusam, mivusam means specifically that it's meant to be able to take the heat, so to speak. So then he has to be able to keep that wine at least until Shavuos. It's true that after Shavuot already the summer is there with its heat, and there he's not responsible, even with the yayin mivusam, to see to it that it doesn't spoil. Beyond that, even yayin mivusam will spoil. Doesn't matter. It's the summer heat that he's not responsible for, whenever he starts. If he says, specifically specifies, yayin yashan means legally, mishel ashtakad, it's last year's wine. If he says yayin miyushan, legal definition of miyushan, it's amazing because this is very much had took humanity so long to set up these standards for this word means this. You have to actually go online to find out what a particular meaning of a word is legally in an advertisement or on a label. If it is miyushan, it means that it's mishel shalosh shanim, meaning that it came from the year before last, this being its third year. And we'll see how much that implies in its longevity for this year, later on in the Brayta. It includes an expiration date, as we'll see. The Mishnah isn't being masbir what the implication of that is, but we're going to see. So Amar Rabbi Yezri v'chanina, this issue over here, where we say you're not chayav b'achrayuto, the only reason you're not chayav b'achrayuto is because we're talking about that it was transferred into the buyer's container, so that it's become kadim to lokeach. And therefore, the seller can say, look, it was transferred into your containers. I don't know what kind of microorganisms were in your containers. I don't know how well insulated they are. I don't know whether they were airtight. I mean, don't come back to me with a problem. But if it remained in the original barrel, so it was bakan kanin de mocher, so then the buyer could come along and say, sir, here's your wine and here's the bottle, and give me my money back. So then he can say, hacham recha v'hakan kanecha. Now, obviously, this is not like the sugya that we had before. Sugya that we had before, Rav said, kol shloisha yomim, the question is, where do we trace the beginning of the problem? The beginning of the problem traced back to the mocher, 3 days. If it lasted 3 days, then we understand that this is a new infection by some microorganisms causing it to sour. That's not our problem. And this is already the lokeach. Now, if Rabbi Yezri Rabbi Chanina is claiming that there's no shear, and that the only time that you're responsible is if, that you're not responsible is if you transferred it into the kelim, so he obviously is chelik on Rav. Now, Lamaisa, his shita is, we saw this back in Bava Metzia, that Rabbi Yezri Rabbi Chanina holds that there's never any sign of a wine souring unless you would have been able to detect it in the first place with a microscope. In other words, because you didn't change it over, it wasn't exposed to the air, it wasn't put into a different container. In the Mela, what we have to say is that there was a very slow growth of something else that was in there that only became noticeable now, however long later it is. And therefore, there's no such thing as 3 days. So what is, therefore, of necessity, what I need to say to that seller, is the only time that he indeed would be potters where there's something else that he can attribute the spoilage to. In this case, the fact that you put it into your containers, and I don't know the quality of your containers, it's not my responsibility anymore. But otherwise, we don't say, well, if it didn't turn in 3 days, it must be there was nothing wrong with it. That's not true. Alibir Rabbi Yezri Rabbi Chanina, he's going to say now a completely different shot. In the mission, obviously, Rav, who holds that you have a 3-day period during which you can come back and claim that there was a problem at the time that you bought it, he's not going to learn a mission like this. According to him, the mission is very simple. Either we could be even talking about the kankanim of the lokeach, or we're talking about the kankanim, that would be even if it was within 3 days. In other words, the problem with our mission doesn't give any time. It talks about, okay, so we have to explain the time. So the time element, according to Rav, generally you could say, well, maybe the Mishnah is talking about after 3 days, and therefore the Mocher is Potter, which, of course, can't be said by Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. He has to give another explanation, that it's talking about that he's Potter because he transferred it into the Kalim, and therefore, indeed, there is no time. I don't know what happened. Maybe the day I put it in there, it already got messed up. The moment he walked out of the store, I'm not responsible anymore if he transferred it. But if you're like, Rav, you don't have to come on tonight. The Mishnah is talking about that it's after 3 days. If it's after 3 days, even though it's an original container, remember, according to Rav, I can't come back to the seller. If you're going to insist that the Mishnah means any time at all, even within the 3 days, say no kinami. Rav, at that point, will say, okay, but for the first 3 days, it's true that he'd only be potter if it was in the kalim of the lokeach. But he certainly isn't forced to say this pshat in the Mishnah. So all of this is aliba the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, which we know from other places, is that a barrel is infected from the beginning, and when it turns into vinegar, unless you could tell me what happened, such as we'll see, there's cases where you let air in, or you punctured the barrel in order to sell it, and maybe you put the hole in the wrong place, and you allowed infection, and so on. There in a tsunami, that's where you're putter. And that's what the Mishnah's got to be talking about. Says, but I say, even if that's true, let's say you're saying the implication of the Mishnah, according to you, Rabbi Yosef Chanina, is that the mocher would be responsible if it were in his own kalim. I mean, is that really true? I mean, if it's a kankanim de mocher, why are you saying that, why can't the Mishnah be referring even to that? My havi. Can't the mocher at one point or another say, look, it's all very nice to say that it's my fault, but how long did it take this to happen? I mean, what are we talking about? A half a year later? A year later? Did anybody tell me that you were planning on, if you had told me you're planning on keeping this wine around forever, I would have told you, well, there's an expiration date. You didn't say that, so I assumed that you were going to be drinking it. Generally, my wine holds up for half a year, let's say. You kept it longer than half a year, now you're going to try to return it? If you wanted it to keep for that long, say so. So why, as Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, why would it be true that there's no limit over here? The Mishnah, I mean, remember, my whole diak is there's no limit. So I got to explain the Mishnah in such a way you're going to be putter no matter what and when. So, I mean, if that's the case, there always is a limit. There's got to be an expiration date. So if he can kanin de mocher, my havi, who cares? Why can he potter himself? If it's the kankanim of the mocher, why can he, is he chayev by having it in his own barrel? Why can't he potter himself by saying, lo iboy lachala shahuye? You shouldn't have kept it around so long. Ah, says Rabbi Yehuda, well, actually, lo tzricha de yomer le mikpa. Actually, it's talking about a case where he did tell him that he needs to keep it. Now, this is a very weird explanation of the Mishnah. I mean, first you create a situation where it doesn't matter how much time, and the Mishnah was only talking about where you're transferring it into the kalim of the lokeach, but otherwise, indeed, the mocher would be chayev. And then you say, what? Why would it be chayev? Oh, well, it's also talking about another case. You build one case after another case, none of which is in the Mishnah. You're making this whole thing up. So first you create a problem. Your problem being that the mocher would be chayev, as opposed to what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says the mocher would be potter. You're saying the mocher would be chayev in a case where he didn't transfer it. Ah, so now I have a problem that I've created by claiming that the case was there was kankanim shelokeach. So now I have to fix the problem that I made. Okay, so I'll fix it by creating yet another issue. Ah, must be talking about that I specified long-term storage. You understand that this is an absolutely wild way of learning a Mishnah. You build something in, which creates a problem, to which you now need to create another construct, which isn't in the Mishnah, to answer the problem. Ask the Gemara, now, why in the world would somebody take such a roundabout way of explaining a Mishnah when the Mishnah makes perfectly good sense the way you read it? So my duchke, ask the Gemara, what in the world is pressuring Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina to first claim that the Mishnah is referring to the Kankanim Lelokeach, which is what got him into trouble and forced him to say, well, therefore it must also be that he said Lemikpa. And there it's talking about Vida Amar Lelemikpa. Why do you need to do all of this? Lukma Bekankanim de Mocher, Vida Lo Amar Lelemikpa. Understand? If he didn't say it was for long-term storage, then the way to understand the Mishnah is the very Kasha that we were asking on him. That's the answer. That's not a Kasha. That the guy can say, who told you to keep it around so long? So when I sell wine, since by no means can I assert that even if you hold, you do go Basarov. I mean, that's an issue, whether you're Gazalinum B'mom and Acharov or not. Okay, fine. Let's say even according to Rob, you go Basarov B'mom. You know that that's the rule? That most people want to extend the wine, set the expiration date has to be beyond such and such a date? Who said so? There's no riot to such a thing. The Mishnah could simply say, be saying the way we understood it, and that's the way Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina could understand it, that even if you hold, like you hold, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, that wine has got to have some pagam l'chatchila in order to sour ultimately, But, I mean, there's a reasonable usage period that you have it where it's not going to sour. And therefore, the Mishnah is saying, as long as it was after the expiration date, the mocha is not chayav, and that's the way to read it. Well, my Rava, I'll tell you why he couldn't read the Mishnah that way. There was something in the Mishnah that was very disturbing to him that forced him to break the simple meaning of the Mishnah. Because matnit and kashit. The Mishnah, and I'll tell you, you have to look ahead in order to understand what pressured him in the beginning. Because he continued reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Im yadua sh'yeno machmit, hareze mekach tavut. Right? Okay. So that also doesn't make sense. Because once we're assuming that there's an expiration date, so what's the nafkamina, whether it's known that this guy's wine's sour or not? All we need to establish is, when he sold it to him, did he sell him wine that was perfectly good, at least as was detectable by human taste? Yes, it was perfectly good wine. Now you keep it around, and it spoils. So if the way to understand the Mishnah was that the Reisha was talking about after the expiration date, so then what's the difference? Then the same thing would be true if the guy sells wine that has a tendency to spoil. Whatever that spoilage is, if it took place after the expiry date, it would be exactly the same thing. Therefore, we're forced to say that the Mishnah is indeed referring to a long-term storage, in which case you can ask, how is there ever a case where a guy is responsible, whether his wine sours or not, should make no nafkamina? Oh, it must be that the purchaser said that he needs it. So that I'm a dyak, because otherwise the Mishnah is going to have to deal with expiry dates, and it doesn't. Tell us how long. So it must be that the person specified, look, this is long-term storage, don't come at me. If I'm going to come back a year from now and I'm going to give you, don't tell me, I never thought you were planning on keeping, I'm telling you right now, I'm keeping this wine around. So therefore, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yezbir B'chanina, it's a pegam in the wine milachatchila. Okay, so now, if it was known that it sours, then it's definitely a mekach ta'ut. Okay, so amai leimalei, loy bai lechalushri, let's see that inside. How can we say it's a mekach ta'ut? Can't he say, I mean, but you kept it. Elalav shvamina, the amalei lemikpa. So it's got to be that he specified that I'm going to keep it. And nonetheless, the mocher is patur. Now, how could the mocher be patur according to my shita? I'm taking it as a given that whenever it's going to sour, it's going to be now an expression of something that was there in the first place that I didn't know. Well, now you know. I didn't need a microscope at this point. I could taste it. And now I know that had I had a microscope, I would have been able to tell the difference back in the beginning. So therefore, he should be chayev. Must be. That's what forces me to the second tikkun in the Mishnah. Must be, says Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, that we're talking about where he had put it into his own containers. That's the only reason the mocha would be potter. So in other words, he's forced by the second clause in the Mishnah to adjust the meaning of the transaction. Now this whole idea is clearly pliga the Rebbe Chia Bar Yosef. Rebbe Chia Bar Yosef says you cannot judge the wine by what happens to it after it's purchased by somebody else. This was something that we met before in the Rashbam's explanation of the Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. Because the Omer, Pchia Bar Yosef, Chamra Mazlo de Morigori. Wine follows its owner. So if the owner is a stuck-up phony, then the wine will turn out to be a stuck-up phony. It looks good, smells good. But the moment you get into it, you find out there's nothing there, and it's all sour. Okay, so that's exactly the same as the owner. So Afki Ayayin Boged Gever Yahir. We're reading the pasuk in an interesting way. In other words, even the wine will act treacherously with a stuck-up, arrogant, no-good-neck, which it will expose him. So it will be bogeda, a gever yahir. Therefore, if you come back to the mocher, all he needs to say to you is, well, I always told you what you were. So, memela, you can't possibly be machai of him. And yet, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina is saying, no, we would be machai of him if we're in his own containers. He could say, what does the container have to do with it? It's the owner that has to do with it. So the question is whether indeed we need to have a case where you maybe introduced some kind of new thing into the wine by exposing it to spoilage. That's the pshat of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. According to Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, what you exposed it to was your own horror. It's yourself that you exposed it to, and that's bad enough. So I don't need that it should be transferred into Kehav to be Machayev, to Pat to the Mocher, to be Machayev, little Kehav, so to speak. Omer of Mori, I mandi Yahir, somebody who's arrogant, afilo ha'inche beite lo mikva. You should know, his own family thinks he's an idiot. I mean, yeah, they pretend to go along, but Lamaisa, they're all laughing at him under the surface. Shinema gever Yahir, a guy is stuck up, and velo yinve. This is now, we're taking the second part of the pasuk as starting, indeed, Gever Yahir, as opposed to saying, Afki Ayayin Bogeid, Gever Yahir. Afki Ayayin Bogeid, in the same way that Yayin is Bogeid, So too a gever yegir v'lo yinve, he won't even find himself a home. Meaning, my v'lo yinve binave shelo, in his own house, nobody's going to take him seriously. He doesn't really have a home. They just pretend. But even his kids know he's a jerk. So lo yinve binave shelo. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, kol hamitga'e betalit shel tamid chacham ve'eino tamid chacham. Anyone who wears one of these long black coats that we that says beferish that we spoke about before, that's mechasim, it's very sanua, right? So such a person who is not a Talmud Chacham, who walks around looking like one, who's not going to find a place in the next world. Because it says v'lo yinve, k'tiv alchi v'lo yinve, and the ultimate nave is el nave kachecha. So nave kachecha means you won't find a place in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nave, because again, the same reason. You want to look like it and not have it, so keep your looks. But you certainly don't want the real thing. Omar Rava, I man de zovin lechavita de chamre lechenva'a, adaite lesavuye. A guy sells a barrel of wine. Now, according to the Rajbam, what this means is that he sells it on consignment. It's not that he really sells it. Tosfos doesn't like that chat because he says, we never find the lashon of zavin, meaning on consignment. Zavin seems to mean a straight out sale. Okay, but according to Rajbam, the meaning is like this. I own a barrel of wine. I give it to you on consignment to sell. I give you a set price. And whatever you make above and beyond that set price is yours. Let's say I charge you $50 per gallon, per barrel. And you're selling it at $3 a drink. And so you make $1,000, but that's fine. I just want my $50. Now, what happened over here is that it was takif, a palgo, a tilta. It went sour when it was only halfway down. There was a third left. But now the shaila is, who's responsible here? The din is that he has to accept it back. The mekabel lemine, because there's no way that we could trace such a thing to the seller. Because, over here it doesn't really belong to the seller until he's finished the deal, then he'll pay and he'll keep his profit. And therefore, it wouldn't be nogea, the question even of the gever yahir. It's not my wine. It's not the Rajbam. But this is only where I didn't do something that could have, in fact, made it spoil because of me. So let's say I put in now the beres in a new place. They didn't used to open barrels and take out the wine from the opening. They kept it airtight. And they would make a hole, which was a special career, somebody who knew how to do this, make a bung in a barrel. And they would put in now a beres. A tap keg. Now, if you changed the placement of the keg, of the tap, then it's your responsibility, because that's a very delicate kind of thing. Put it in the wrong place, and the wine will spoil. So if you were shani bebarza, lo, then the guy who put the wine into your store can claim you tampered with it, and it's your responsibility. V'lo amran, all of this, however, if he didn't succeed in selling it by the time that it spoiled, is only de lo mata yume de shuka. That's only if the wine didn't last long enough to get to a yume de shuka. So that would either be the local time when everybody comes together, or it's a fair, if there's no specific date when that's done. If it's mata yume de shuka lo, because at the yom hashuk, any reasonable seller should be able to get rid of a barrel of wine. Because that's where everybody's drinking. If you didn't, it means you didn't market it properly. A lot of people supposed to, you probably didn't even have a sign up that you've got wine available. That's your responsibility. It's not my responsibility. So over here, that means that the built-in expiration date on the wine is the Yom HaNeshukah. I'm only giving you this wine to sell, and I expect it to be sold by Yom HaNeshukah, and that I take for granted. So you can see how Libet HaTosfos, the issue over here, revolves around what is the assumed expiry date. So since it's in a chanut, so normally, if there were no Yom HaNeshukah there, that means that I understand I'm giving it to you long-term, because I want you to sell it cup by cup in order to be able to make your profit. That's why I'm taking a higher price for my wine. If it doesn't last, then it's my responsibility, unless you did something. Mashenkin, in a case where there is a Yom HaNeshukah, now I know by when it's going to be sold, and I have a right to assume that you'll sell it by that date. So it has nothing to do with consignment, according to Tosfos. It's simply a zvine in which the date by which it's meant to be sold is built into the nature of the sale. It depends. It depends, obviously. Not necessarily. In other words, wherever the time is over there that a lot of people would be around, and would typically be buying wine if you're marketing properly. So then the marketing issue, that's your problem. That's not my problem. You can't come back to me now and say it didn't sell. It didn't sell because you didn't sell it. V'yomar Rava, hay man dekobel chamra adaite demamtile leparvata deval shefot. V'ademate hatam zal. Now over here we have an interesting situation. Because here we're talking about an iska. So remember that any iska, even if ostensibly, let's say I'm the owner of the wine, so I'm putting in all the money into the deal. And I give you this wine with the understanding that you will be managing the sales. You'll take care of it, and we're going to split the profit. Okay, now remember that the way that Chazal were mitaken, this is the whole meaning of the heter iska, is based on this idea. The way that Chazal were mitaken, the meaning, by definition, of such a relationship called an iska, is that I'm making you a loan of half, plus we're giving you now something for your tircha, unless there's some other built-in way that you're getting a little bit more of the profit or so on. But we, because of that, now you're half responsible for anything that happens to it, because half of it is yours. It was a loan, basically, you bought into. What's different in this case, however, is that I made a special condition. This wine has got to have been taken to the port, Parvata, of Val Shvat, Shvat. So that's apparently a place where all the sailors would come in and would actually live it up and pay ridiculous amounts for wine. There are times when that works on Wall Street, yeah. So in Val Shvat, that's where you could sell it. You can't sell it any other place. If you sell it any other place, then you're violating the terms of our contract. The deal is off. Because I expect to get a tremendous amount of profit by your selling it in the port. And what happens? Okay, by the time the guy gets to the port, the price is dropped. So Dinahu, the Mekabale, over there, he can't now, the owner of the wine has got to take back the whole thing. If it goes below the price, he's not going to be able to make any money. Because he could say, this has nothing to do with me. I had nothing else to do. You tied my hands. If it would have been my wine, I would have sold it earlier, gotten the profit out. You said we can't sell it. By the time I could sell it, according to our contract, it's no longer sellable to make a profit. So therefore, it's your problem and not mine. But that's because we say over here that you limited the possibilities. Again, they sell it, then they share it.
They share
it? Yeah, because that was the deal that we're going to share, and I accepted it on this basis. Okay. If anything else had happened, then it's half mine. We're not saying that if a flood would have come and dragged it away, then I'd be part of it, because that's not part of the contract. But if the price changes, that's part of the contract. Iboilu, what would be in a case where it became vinegar before it got there? So now this already has to do with the machlokas that we spoke out before. I mean, if we're going to say that this is like a normal sale, let's say so. In the case of a normal sale, we said that the lokeach, at least according to Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina, the lokeach could say, well, you know, your crummy wine, this is what you gave me, so take it back. Because, I mean, it must be, remember, according to Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina, a pagam in the wine in the first place. So this is a pagam in the wine in the first place. So in this case, he should have sold him good wine, or given him good wine. Or perhaps we say that since in this case, essentially he owns half the wine, if you hold over here of Rabbi Bar Yosef, he can say to the guy, no, it was your mazel that destroyed this wine. So at least half of it is you, because it goes according to the owner. So this is basically the question. Is this a din of a mechira, and it's going to, or do we paskin in the case of mechira like Rabbi Bar Yosef, or do we paskin like Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina? What's the halacha? Omele Rav Hillel L'Rav Ashi, I'll tell you, that ki havan be Rav Kahana, when we were learning by Rav Kahana, he told us about this case, and he said, Omar Alam, chala lo, that the only case that we said over here that the balayayin is the one that's responsible is where the hefsid was caused by the condition directly. So the case where it went down in price by the time it got to the port. Masha Einkein, in this case, he's not responsible for it turning into vinegar entirely on his own. Because over here, what we were saying is, and this is talking about, obviously he knew that it was going to take that long to get there. So you would say, if that's the case, if he knew, so then it's his responsibility. But since over here it's owned partially by the other guy, so he can tie that. This is your mazel that caused it. So in other words, this would be like Rabbi Bar Yosef and not like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. That was one way we heard of it, like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Because according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, in the kankanim of the mocher, in this case the mocher being the investor, the guy who owns the wine. So according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, if it was lemikpa, and this is a case of lemikpa basically, because he told him it's going to have to last until we get all the way to the port, and only over there you're going to sell it. There's no bitter case in mikpa where he's the guy who's insisting that it's lemikpa. So then that means Aliba the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, he should be responsible. And the guy now who's the partner, who's managing this, should be able to take the bottle of wine, throw it in his face, and say, here's your wine, here's your kankan, I'm out of this, I'm not taking any responsibility. It must be that he holds Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. If he paskin this, that it's partially the poor managing partner, didn't own a penny of this until you gave him the wine as a loan. must be that you hold that was my mazel that was going. That was the first lashon that we heard by Rav Kahana. Ikiri amri afilu chalanami mekaba. Others learn that no, it's actually the responsibility of the owner of the wine, even in a case where it's not directly traceable to the fact that I couldn't sell it before, but there's a pagam in the wine. That would be going like Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Hanina, that it's not a dependent on mazel in any way. It's simply dependent on the conditions, the starting conditions of the wine. So Allah Lamaisa, we find over here that he gave the same answer that we had in the question. It's an ikini amri. Do we pass like Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Hanina, or do we pass like Rabbi Chiya? Over here, Rukhiya by Yosef. Okay, remember that according to the way that the Rashbam had learned the sugi before, Tosfos disagreed, if you recall. Remember the sugi before about wine, Tosfos learned that the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel was essentially this. Is there a question of wine spoiling because of my mazel? That's the shavar. Shavar doesn't mean it jumps onto your shoulder. Akatze demore shavar. Says Rashbam, that means that it jumps onto your shoulder because of your mazel. Tosfos says that doesn't make any sense in that sugya, because there it's talking about where it was betosh shlosha yomim. Where do you ever see that the mazel can be gerim, a change from the normal nature of a souring process? That's crazy. Never heard of that. So he understands that the agitation of the wine can be the reason that, just like transferring it into another container, you now spread things that weren't going to grow, they're all settled on the bottom. You shake it when you put it on your shoulder to move it from place to place. And that caused the kyulka, which means it has nothing to do with our sugya. But the way the Rashbam was learning, since we paskin like Shmuel, and we said before that Reb Yosef actually did like Shmuel, and he blamed the guy that had bought it, so lefara, we would have to paskin over here, like Reb Chiya bar Yosef, that's Hayayin Bogate. Yashan, we define as Mishel Eshtakad, and Miyushan, we define as Mishel Shalosh Shanim. Now that, says the Baraita, has a very important implication, a legal implication. The legal implication is not only how old it has to be, but how long it has to last. Because if you're saying that this is Yayin Miyushan, so that means it has to be capable of being 3 years old. If it's capable of being 3 years old, you're guaranteeing it even through Sukkot, meaning you're saying it's going to last through the summer. And that's what the Miyushan implies. Mashenkin, the normal wine, we said, even if it's Mivusam, can't be expected to last beyond Shavuos because of the temperature. But Miyushan means this is wine that can be kept long term. And this is the way I've had it. I've had it already for 2 years. It's going to be 3 years old this year. When will it be 3 years old? Only by the next harvest. The next harvest is after the summer. So in other words, that means you're telling me I can keep it through the summer. Then it becomes the Mocher's responsibility. So even though it wasn't obvious that the Mishnah was actually addressing in the closing the responsibility of Mocher with which it had opened, the truth is that it's actually giving us a different expiration date. And now, our dear President, HaMocher Makom L'Chaveiro. Somebody now sells a lot for, we'll see in a moment, or HaMekabel Makom Mechaviro LaSot Lo Beit Chatnut, or now he contracts to build here a Beit Chatnut for his son. Or a Beit Almanut Lebito. It's rather strange why his daughter is an Almana and his son is a Chosin. But the Gemara is going to ask that. How does that happen? All right. But meanwhile, this is the deal. How big is the house supposed to be that he delivers? It's supposed to be 4 amot by 6 amot. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Says Rabbi Yishmael, that's a barn. Refet Bakar, so that's great. So now you're ordering a barn for your son's first home. This is really great. It's ridiculous. How much he holds that, the Mishnah doesn't say, but this is certainly not big enough. In fact, Harotzel Asot Refet Bakar, that's exactly the size legally. Bone Arba Amot Al Shesh. That's a question of the Gemara. Who said that? Is that part of Rabbi Shmuel, or is Rabbi Akiva also made it to that? If you contract for a Bayit Katan, not for a Beit Chatnut, a Bayit Katan is Shesh Al Shmone Amot. If you contract for a Bayit Gadol, so then it has to be Shmona al Esra Amot. If you contract for a Traklin, we'll see, the Gemara is going to define how we're using these words, because usually a Traklin means this big, gorgeous home. That's a square, which is weird, because none of these others are square. That's a square of Eser al Eser. And in all cases, the way to define the roof height is Rumo, is the following formula. Chatzi arko kechatzi rochobo. So in other words, take the width and the length, add it together and divide by 2. Here is our architect who can tell us whether this is a reasonable formula for modern-day construction. No, it is very much not reasonable. Okay.
Maybe some weird zoning regulation.
So we're lucky to have Reb Chaim Meyerfeld with us, who can give us the more contemporary data. A raya l'davar, that this is a standard for building. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel amar kibinyan heichal. Take a look at the heichal. The heichal basically was exactly that. Because if you add the 40 of the Kodesh, the 20 of the Kodesh, we're talking about the first place of Minyan, the 20 of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you add them together, you get 60. Divide by 2, you get 30, and that's the height. So that must be the formula. I was going to talk about this. So he says, there you go. So that's your model. The model is Kibinyan Haichal. Okay, let me just, I don't understand that. It's a very weird thing that you said. A Beit Chatanut for your son, but a Beit Almanut for your daughter. I mean, why say it that way? Why don't you just say it? Beit Chatanut, Lebino, Lebito, or if you're insisting on being in having this very pessimistic view of life, I mean, you could say a Beit Almanut, Lebino, Lebito. Or if you want to explain that they're both, say both of them, but I mean, why in the world separate one from the other by the sex of your child? Oh, it's coming to your chiddush. Milta agav urche kamashbul. It's teaching you something. That the lo darka de chatana lemeidar bechamua. That in fact, a son-in-law, it's inappropriate for him to be living around his father-in-law. So therefore, if you're talking about your son, so you'd be normally building a home around your home for your son. But for your daughter, you wouldn't. So when would you build a home for your daughter when she's no longer married? Her husband died. Okay, so now she'll come back home. But while she had a husband, she wasn't living around here. So now she's got nowhere to live. Masha'in Ken, your son. Okay, your son is meant to live around you. That's the pshat. So there would be no meaning to say a Beit Almon for your son if this is where he lived, if his wife died, so you'll continue to live where he lived. So therefore, it teaches you an issue of derech eretz. And that we see actually k'dichtiv b'sefer ben Sira. Hakol shakalti b'kaf muznai. I've weighed all kinds of things in the scale of decency. V'lo matzati kal misubin. Now, when it comes to physical things, the lightest thing you're going to put on a scale is bran. Weighs almost nothing. But there's something that's a lot less weighty than that. That's a guy who's got no kovet. You know, kovet means he's got no weight. That's the word kovet. He's got no weight. So kal misubin, lighter even than that, is a chatan adar bebeit chamiv. A chosin who moves into his father-in-law's house, boy, this guy is lighter than bran. We know that we don't hold of that either because of sexual entanglement with his mother-in-law, which is opposed to the Western assumption that mother-in-laws and son-in-laws don't get along. Adarabba, as the Gemara says, you got to be very careful, saying to him, watch your wife from her first chosin. And this, even though that's essentially the worst of it, but any chosin is really included. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. Is that because of entanglements, or is that because she gives away your money and buying too many gifts? Says the Gemara, both are true. But, all right, so in any event, that's not a good idea. And, but I'll tell you, there's things that are even worse than that, you know. Later than that, kal michatan is a guest who invites another guest. I mean, I've heard of disgusting things, but for a guest to call up and say, now that you've accepted me for Shabbos, is it okay if I come with my friends, which is the standard around here, is it okay if I come with my friends, that's even worse and more inappropriate than moving in with your mother-in-law. But there's something even less than that. Kal me'oreach is somebody who won't listen to the question before he's already got the answer. So he's eishiv davar v'ter mishma. Shenemar, indeed, this already is a pasuk in Mishlei. Shenemar meishiv davar v'ter mishma, iveleti lo uchlima. Nice little rhyme. Rabbi Yishmael omer refet bakar izo. And then it goes on to say, ha-ratzel ha-sod refet bakar, happens to be, it's exactly this measurement. So who is that? That said that part, the second part. So the refet bakar, the measurements of someone who orders a refet bakar is exactly the measurements of the house for your son that Rabbi Akiva was saying is the house. So who's the author of the words refet bakar being arba al-sheh shamot? Man katanila. There's a machlokas. Some understand it to be Rabbi Shmuel. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel, it's all one statement. Rabbi Shmuel says, that? That's a refet bakar. Because, I mean, look, that's the din legally. If somebody orders a refet bakar, that's exactly what you deliver. So you're telling me that a beit chatnut equals a refet bakar? And Iker Yamri know that actually Rabbi Akiva Katanila and this Rabbi Akiva holds. So that what it's saying is in the Mishnah is essentially this. Afal pisha refet bakari. Even though I agree if you would order specifically a refet bakar, that would be the size of the house. But, you know, sometimes people live that way. I can tell you from personal experience, says Rabbi Akiva. So pa'amim, Sha'adam oseh dirato karevet barkam. Sometimes people live like that. And if he doesn't say differently, then you're not mechuyev to supply him with more than the minimal. You could say, look, you ordered this is what you ordered. If you wanted something else, you should have specified. Ve'ikir yamrei Rabbi Shmuel katani lo. So others say Rabbi Shmuel katani lo. This is how it would read. V'achi kamar. Sheh. This is how to understand it. That the Mishnah should be read as an explanation. I say this is a refet bakar because if Sheh harotzel asad refet bakar would have been doing it this way. He would have been osa arba amot al sheish. Traklin is 10 by 10. So now that's not a normal usable shape for a home. More usable is that we should be able to get to separate areas out by having a shape that is longer here and it's wider. That's, I can now isolate different areas. Here's the kitchen area. So to make a square is weird. And it's also not a very big square either. I mean, what's you're saying a traklin? This is a traklin. So what was meant over here by traklin? How are you using that word in a traklin? Says the Gemara, the meaning of a traklin in this context is we're talking about over here a kupta bevardi. Now, kupta means a cube, but that's meant as we use it as a cubicle, sort of. We use that word for houses of prostitutions, kuba de bezonot. So everybody's got a little office, so to speak, a cubicle. So over here, it's actually a kuba bevardi. What it is a little rose garden that you have this nice pavilion in your rose garden. So it has a specific implication for the styles at the time, and indeed, that was not meant for living in a normal way, and so it was aesthetically pleasing as a square, even though it wouldn't really serve very well as a place where you're going to be putting in your kitchen and so on. But that's the meaning of traklin at the time of the Mishnah.
A garden,
what do you call it? Like what would you call it?
A trellis.
Call it a pavilion?
But it's closed in as well.
It's closed in, but it's exposed. You know, you have your windows. The kubata.
Florida room.
Florida room, they call it? In New York.
Yeah, New York.
Now Florida room means an airplane. So it's an airplane, you snowbirds. You know, I mean. So kubata bevardi. Tane, now the it's not in South Africa, it wouldn't be. So I, Tane, actually you fly south in South Africa, you get cold. So Tane, in the bright that says you can order a kantir, which is not clear what that is, but we'll explain it. That would be 12 by 12. And how exactly do we understand a kantir? A kantir is a tarbatz apadne. It's a garden pavilion as opposed to a rose thing. So in other words, this is in the middle of a large yard and you're going to be entertaining people and so on. That's larger, but it's also not meant as living. So it's like at the entrance to a real, it's real apadne, which is like a castle. The entrance, that's the kind of thing you would expect at the entrance. Rumo kechatzi orko kechatzi rochbo. So the formula for the height would be the length plus the width divided by two. Raya ledover. Reb Shimon Gamliel omer kebinyan eichal. It's very strange because normally it says so and so says raya ledover. I mean, what is raya ledover? Does anybody know? Hello. Yes. Reb Shimon Gamliel omer. Why do we say it that way? How do we read the Mishnah over here? Man kantoni laza. Who is the one that said the words raya ledover? So ikini amri, Reb Shimon Gamliel katoni laza. In other words, the Mishnah is essentially saying, and you will ask, so raya ledover minayin? Ah, Reb Shimon Gamliel omar. It's all binyan ha'echal. Others say, on the contrary, it's clear that the Tanakama was about to give the raya ledover. So ikini amri, Tanakama katoni laza. That actually the Mishnah could have left out Reb Shimon Gamliel and just say, Raya Ladavar Kibinyan Ayachal. So now why don't we insert the words to what it's saying in Raya Ladavar? There is a Raya Ladavar, and just as the Sugi a moment ago we said that somebody who jumps to conclusion about what somebody else is about to say is terrible, Reb Shimon Gamliel jumps right in and says, I'll bet you're going to say a Raya Ladavar is the Eichal. Well, that's ridiculous. So that Adarabba, Reb Shimon Gamliel will say, what? Kibinyan Ayachal? You crazy? Everybody's supposed to have now the Eichel in his house. Why in the world would we use the Eichel as a model for a regular home? So according to this, Reb Shimon Gamliel did was arguing. So he was saying, he is wondering at how anybody could say that. He's saying to the Tanakama, what, you're right, Ladavar is minayin, bibinyan Eichel? Oh, to kuli amak minayin Eichel avdi, but you're telling me this is the way people have to build a home? Why? Tanya acherim omrim. Others say that the height the width of the beams. Now, that's a strange way of referring to the height, because obviously, as Reb Chaim has just told us, the height is basically a function of the perception of space. So instead of talking about the roof beams, talk about the width of the room. Why talk about the beams? So just say, just all you need to say is rumo karachbo. I mean, it's a weird way of talking. Measure the roof beams and make, there are differences. For instance, ibay dema, beta miloi ravach. Remember that the way that they constructed homes was, as some places, as a matter of fact, this room that we're in. How are you going to measure the width of the room? From the bottom or from the top? There's differences. So in many places, if you're building with stone, the walls are thick at the bottom in order to be able to support the weight of the ceiling, and then they go up and they get lighter and lighter and therefore thinner and thinner, and the room gets wider and wider. So the shaila is, do you start at the bottom or do you start at the top? Or maybe like this room, vice versa. So what defines it? So therefore, since the house is getting wider on top, he's telling us, look at that greater width. Or there's the beams. Or there's another explanation. Remember that the beams are not the equivalent of the width of the room, because the beams sit on little notches in the wall that supports the beam with the actual wall. They're not screwed onto the wall. And therefore, what you're talking about is slightly larger than the actual width, the perceived width. So what it's saying is that the rumo has to be a little bit more than the width that you would perceive as your living space. So that would be the ika be kave. You also have the place of the little window, so to speak. A kave is usually a window. It means the niches that are there to insert the beams into. Rabbi Hanina, I mean, once we're already on the topic over here of the Beit HaMikdash and the measurements of the height and so on, Rabbi Hanina once went out, actually we had this happen many times, he went out into the small towns where they would save up their questions for the visiting rabbi, and Ramalei Kroy Adar, one of the psukim that they asked him about was a contradiction in which it says, HaBayit Asher Bana HaMelech Shlomo. Here it says first that the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo built in its entirety was Shishim Ama Orko, Vesrim Rachbo, Veshloshim Ama Komato. So what you're saying over here now is that it was 60, but its height essentially was 30. Uktiv. Now, the other pasuk that's described in the Kodesh HaKadashim says that Lifnei Hadvir Esrim Ama Orech, so that you had over here 20 Amot. Of that 60, 20 amot was the area that was bifnim, esrim amot rochav, 20 amot wide, 20 amot long, and weirdly enough, 20 amot komatona. How in the world could the Beit HaMikdash have a different ceiling over the Kodesh HaKadoshim than it had over the area outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? I mean, it was one building. So how do you explain that? Amar lahu, so he said, well, what we're doing over here is we're measuring the height from the Sfat HaKruvim Lamala. So since the Kruvim were first start off as 10 Amot, these were the Kruvim that he put in there, so then that's telling me that you've still got 20 Amot from that edge, because those were the Kruvim that Shlomo had made that were standing on the ground, not the Kruvim of the Orei. They were standing on the ground, and they were 10 Amot high, one on either side of the Aron HaBrit, so that we measure for some weird reason from the top of the wings of the Kruvim that were spread out over the room. So they were Parsei Chanafayim, and they stuck up through the room. Above those wings was the area that we're measuring. Huh? Well, that's a little strange, isn't it? So, Kikachosh Misrat Kruvim Lamali, you'll ask me, Maikamash. So why would the Pasuk take such a strange measurement? Hakamash Malan, it's telling us a tremendous Chiddush. The tremendous Chiddush is that lamata kilamala. What it's saying is that what I'm measuring over here is the area above in order to say to you that you should understand that our measurements are of empty space. Because otherwise you would think our measurements are of the room, which has furniture in it. Obviously, there's an aron there. So if I'm measuring from the top of the kruvim, if I'm only measuring up from the top, so what the pasuk is saying is, here is the measurement of empty space. And why is that important? To tell me that mala mala ina meshamish klum, avlamata ina meshamish klum. What it's gufa coming to teach me is that all of the measurements that were just supplied to you are of empty space. So, what do you mean? How could they be of empty space? I mean, that's where the Aron was. You just said this is the area of the Aron, and that's why it's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That is gufa coming to teach you that three-dimensional space did not include the Aron. That is a tremendous chiddush. So, in other words, The Aaron exists in another dimension, not within three-dimensional space. So if I'm measuring these measurements, you should know all of these measurements are of empty space. And this is Misayel or Reb Levi. This teaches exactly what Reb Levi said. The Omer Reb Levi v'temer Rabbi Yochanan, davar zeh misorah b'yadenu mi'avotenu. We know this is a misorah. But lemaisa over here, the pasuk is being meramis to it. And this was the chiddush of Rabbi Chanina, that makom aron ukruvim eno min haminyan. That measuring, now, eno min hamida, measuring the mida of the heichal from one end to the other, and if you try to measure it, so let's say you'll say, okay, let me measure from the wall over here on the south up to the arm, the wall on the north up to the arm. Then I'll measure the arm and I'll add it all together. It doesn't add any space. You won't measure it all together. You'll still be measuring 10 plus 10. And you'll come out with 20. This is, what was I measuring when I was measuring the aron? Not space. So therefore, I need to be meramis to that in the measurements that are given over here. Tanya and the Alchi, aron shasa Moshe, when that aron that Moshe Rabbeinu had made was put into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which Shlomo HaMelech had made, that aron had 10 amot from any side. Esra amot l'kol ruach v'ruach, even though the total space that was available, as we just said, was 20 amot. So that's exactly what Rabbi Chanina is saying. You're measuring an empty space, and anything that's within it is basically in hyperspace, not in the space that you're giving, measuring over here in the Pesukim. This is Shlomo. Vimamarlo yain mevusam ani mocher lecha chayav lamid lo ada atzeret. Yain yashan, that means mishal ashtakad. Yain miyushan is mishal shalosh shanim. Omer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina lo shana lo vekan kanim de lokeach. Avo kan kanim de mocher, omer lo, excuse me, buddy, akam recha, akam kecha, where's my money? Vechi kan kanim de mocher, am I having? Leimelei lo yibay lecha lo shuhuya, you didn't say you're going to keep it that long. Lo tzricha, that he did. The omer lo yilam ikpah. So what in the world would be the dochek for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina lukman lamatnit bekanim de lokeach for long-term storage? The omer lemikpa. Why can't you just say it's talking about kanim lemocher? The omer lemikpa. Amarava matnit in kashite, because the Mishnah says in Yadua sheyeno machmit zareset mekach taud. Why? Leimalei loy bayelachal shuuyeh. It was certainly good when I sold it to you. Ela lav shmamina. The Omer Lemikpa, Shmamino, which case now I have to say that the Reisha is talking indeed about the Kelim of the Lokeah. Upliga de Rabkir Bar Yosef. The Omer Rabkir Bar Yosef, Chamra Mazli, the Mazli, the Mori is gone. Shinem of Afki, Ayayin, Bogate, Geber Yahir. Omer of Mori, Haiman, the Yahir. Afiloim, Chibetel, Omikpa. Shinem of Geber Yahir, Veloyin Ve, my Loyin Ve. Binave Shalom. It's worse than that. It's kolamit gaed, but talit shatamit chacham, veinot amit chacham echnes, imagrisinot amit chitzatot shal kakadosh baruch hu. Because he's looking at the real naveh, right? Knivacha v'loyin ve, knivacha v'enleve kachecha. Omar rava haiman de zavin lechavita de chamer lechen va'a, adaita le savuye, v'takif apalga o atilta, dino de mekabale minevelo amana de lo shani bebarza. If the storekeeper was shining with bars, he could say, it's your fault. He can also say, you're probably a lousy seller. For instance, Parvata, the Val Shvat. So, Adamati Hata, Zal. So, over there, Dinuhu de Mekabele. Iboilu, what about if it was Havichal, am I? Or Marle, Revila, Ravashi, what? Kiavambe, Rav Kahana, or Marle, no. Chala lo, but that's not like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, who says indeed it is the fault, right? V'hikri amri afilu chala nami mekava kaman Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Yoshan Mishel Ashtakad says the brighter that has a very important additional meaning, that you have to be able to be miyashin it for 3 years, 3 whole years. So miyashin v'holech ad achag, even to the summer. Hamocher makom l'chavero v'chanam, kabel makom mechavero, lasot lo beit chatanut livno, or Beit Almanut Levito, Bone Arba Matashesh, Divi Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel Amar, that's a Refet Bakar. Harotzela Sot Refet Bakar, Bone Arba Matashesh. Bayit Katan, Shesh Al Shmone. Gadol, Shmone Al Eser. Shraklin, Eser Al Eser. Always Rumo Kechatzi Orko Kechatzi Rochbo. Raya Ledavar, Shemangam Liel Amar, Kibiyan Echal. Lama le mitne beit chatnut livno u beit almanut lebito. I mean, just isn't it nicer to say beit chatnut livno u lebito, beit almanut livno u lebito? Milta gavurcha kamashmula, the lavdarka de chatana lameda bechamua, kirektiv besefer ben sira, hakol shakalti bekaf moznai, velomatsati kalmi subin. But Kalmi Subin is a Chatana Dar Bebet Chamiv. And even Kalmi Chatan is an Oreach Machnis Oreach. And a Kalmi Oreach is Meshiv Davar Beter Mishma. Shneemar Meshiv Davar Beter Mishma, Ivelet Ilo Uchlima. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Refet Bakari Yizo. Arotzela Sod Refet Bakari. Who said that? Man Katanila. So Ikri Am Rabbi Shmuel Katanila, Ikri Am Rabbi Akiva Katanila. Ikri Am Rabbi Akiva Katanila Vachikama. אף על פי שרפת בקר היא, פעמים שאדם עושה דירתו כרפת בקר. ויקרי אמר וישבל, קטני לבחי כמר, שהרוצה לעשות רפת בקר, עושה 400 על 6. טרקלין 10 על 10, מי טרקלין קובטה בוורדה. תנא וקנטיר, 12 על 12, מי קנטיר, תרבץ הפדמי. רומו כחצי אורכו וכחצי רוחבו, ראי לדבר רב שמגמליאל אומר כבניין היכל. Raya le davar man katanila. Iki de amr b'shimen gamliel katanila. Vachi kamar. Raya le davar minayin. Amr b'shimen gamliel akol kibinyan echal. Iki de amr. Actually, Tanakam was about to say it, and then Rabbi Shimon gamliel jumps in and atmiya kametame. Vokamar le Tanakam. Raya minayin. Mi binyan echal. Atukule yamu kibinyan echal avde. Tanya acher momrim rumo kikorato. Kikoratav. Why not just say rumo kaorko? Ibaitema beta miloi rava, so it isn't really karochpo. Vibaitema mishum diga beikave, so it's always going to be wider than rochpo. Rabbi Chanina nafak lekiryata romale kirayadari. On the one hand, kniva baita shabana shlomo la shem, shishimama orko vesrim rochbo, shushimama komato. Vilifne hadvir esrim ama orech, vesrim ama rocha, vesrim ama komato. Amalahu kikachashu misvat kruvim v'lamala. So my kamashmalan, a kamashmalan that lamata ke lamala, mala mala in a meshamish klum, av lamata in a meshamish klum, which is misayel el Reb Levi. The Omer Reb Levi v'tem Reb Yochanan, davar zem misore biyadenu miavotenu, makom aaron kruvim, eno min hamida. Tanya Rami Yochi, aaron shasa Moshe, the moment he brought it into the Echal, Revach Eser Amot, the called Ruach v'Ruach.